Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye Live with The Fedge.
If it was up to me, I'd dump the Israelis tomorrow.
Heck, did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware.
All right, everybody. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, January the 12th, 2019, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh has been relatively cool, with daytime highs hitting only 68 degrees under mostly cloudy to partly cloudy skies. The current temperature is sitting at 65 degrees under partly cloudy skies and winds of around 9 miles per hour out of the southeast. We will be in the middle 50s towards the end of the useful part of the evening, and we will be dipping down into the 40s, coming to rest at 48 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Now, we are expecting some unsettled air over the next few days, and with that, increasing temperatures up to 80 degrees by Monday. But after that, the cloud cover should dissipate, and with that, all that captured heat is going to escape, and we should see temperatures dipping back, not really back, but down into the 50s for daytime highs. Now, all of this, of course, is happening as we head into the Riyadh bone chill season coming up in February. Myself, I've got a sweater, feeling kind of a flu coming on. Had to take kind of a little nap there, so I haven't done a whole lot of preparation for 3 hours, but we'll get through it. Now, the telephone lines, if you haven't heard, are down. Skype, unfortunately, has forced an upgrade, and last time I tested, we were not able to actually accept calls. So the telephone lines for now are down. Now, we had kind of an almost disaster yesterday. I was working with Paul English over at People's Patriot Network, Eurofolk Radio, and the host of Inside the Ally Primetime a week or so ago. And he was giving me some information on how to possibly mix in telephone calls. So I downloaded that cool, it's kind of cool software, actually. Paul, if you're listening, it's pretty cool software. And I downloaded it. I don't have it quite configured yet. I got to figure out how to send all these virtual channels and wires everywhere and then mix in the Skype call, then bring in a SIP account, and then I will be able to basically take SIP calls. Well, just a regular call to you people. And then feed that SIP call into my mixing board, virtual mixing board. Boy, if I have a cough like this, it's going to be a long 3 hours, guys and gals. But anyway, so we're getting close. But as I was really tired, you know, I've just been tired. It was late. I was working trying to get it to go late, you know. So I got up after like having some my first argila in like, I don't know, a week since I left Jordan, quite frankly. It was since I left Jordan. And I got up. And I have all these cables everywhere, and I went to go to the kitchen to grab some tea, get some hot tea before sleeping, and I didn't lift my foot high enough, and everything got pulled down to the floor. I was able to turn around and see just as the computer, just before it hit the ground, and I'm like, oh, geez. So now my mixing board's got like some some loose piece inside. Thank goodness I didn't break the new screen that I just put on the laptop. And everything, I think, is going okay. I say I think only because I have not, as of yet, gone into the chat room, which, of course, you may find at InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button. I'm actually clicking on now, everybody. And it's spinning, spinning, spinning. This is not connected to my good router. But we are connected. I see Nick Donin snippets. Everything seems to be moving. And everything looks okay. Guys in the chat room, just say sounds good. And I know it's good. That's always a great thing. Telephone lines, again, are going to be closed for today. You can go ahead and try to call 1-323-275-1314. And again, we'll be able to check and see if it goes, but don't expect to get connected. It would be just more of a test call. I've been testing it from Saudi Arabia here, and it just hasn't been working. I don't know if you saw the news. You probably didn't see the news because you're not going to see anything about Saudi Arabia that's positive. Generally, you don't. But, you know, Germany has just outlawed, or no, Germany has just passed a law that allows child marriages. Basically, that is okay. Thank you, Nick Donin, and snippets. Okay, that extra one, two, three. What is that one? Okay, snippets put in three extra zeros in good. So I'm going to assume that's a really good. She says you sound rough, Fetch. Yeah, I'm fighting off really what feels like a flu coming on, but that's okay. Nothing to do. What can we do? The voice is still okay. I know. We're going to get through it, everybody. Or I can just snippets. You can call in the show, and I'll just hand it over to you. And you can do 3 hours of intelligent media. I know you can handle it. You got a lot of material over there at snippets, not snaps. Snippets and snappets.blogspot.com, something like that. Okay, anyways, where were we? We were on the child marriage thing in Germany. You know, Germany's actually passed some laws that allow for children to be married, and that is, of course, being done to appease its Islamic invasion force, because that's really what it's coming down to when you start to pass laws that are appeasing other people. Well, you're basically giving them a very huge say in the rights of what's going on inside your country. I mean, you're actually passing the law such that you're going to, you know, basically appease them. So basically they've invaded, they've taken over, and there you go. And, you know, there was some pictures equally coming out of Dearborn, Michigan, where you've got, and we're trying to get rid of this issue here in Saudi, quite frankly. Everyone's working hard to move things forward in Saudi. But in Dearborn, Michigan, there's pictures now of Kentucky Fried Chicken stands with male and female only lines. So basically they're using what they do in Saudi Arabia here. They don't do that in any other country, by the way. It's only Saudi Arabia. So these people who are trying to bring this type of mentality to America would not even be welcome in Saudi Arabia by the general people here. The general people here, they want to see the kingdom move forward. Trust me, guys. I mean, think about it. Everybody's got their wants, wishes, and desires, and that includes people in the Middle East. Don't kid yourself. Kind of go back to the days of the Cold War. And when the Cold War was going on, there was a song came out, even the Russians love their children too, something like that, because the Russians were so darn vilified in our media during the 1970s and 80s. It's like, gee, I think Sting came out with some song, "Don't the Russians Love Their Children Too," something like that. Well, think of the same thing. Look, around the world, everybody wants a better life for their kids, their children. A place to grow up safe and sound and all of that kind of cool stuff. But there's no point in going backwards. And when you're bringing it, see what's happened is the Jewish, our Jewish lords and masters, if you want to call them that, they have decided that the best solution for we in the West is to import the worst of the worst of the worst into our countries so that we have to deal with it while we still have to deal with the idiocy of these Jews and their policies. That's the real issue here. And I was noticing some stuff coming out of France to highlight this. Look, there was two issues came up and talked about over the summer. One of those was about a UN, not a UN, but an EU army. Basically, all the different countries of the EU would put all their militaries under one particular military command. There would not be any national armies anymore. NATO apparently might even be obsolete at that stage if they were to do that. And really, the only reason you're going to do something like that, everyone, is because you want to basically be able to bring in an army that is not French to deal with the French. You would want to bring in an army that is not German to deal with the Germans. You would want to bring in an army that is not British to deal with the British. And now we can see why, because there's talks and rumors now inside of Paris in France of the Islamic, this big now imported Islamic bloc starting up their own green revolution, not green revolution, but a green vest movement, essentially. And then even Macron was rumored here in some reports to be asking the Islamic community to rise up and defend the state, to defend France from the yellow vest. Now, if that is actually the case, and I wouldn't even doubt that it's not the case, you're basically asking now for civil war, because you're basically telling the French people they are not any longer a part of their own country. They are no longer a part of the state. And of course, Macron doesn't work for the French people. Macron works for the Rothschild banking syndicate. The French government has proven itself to be totalitarian against the French people. The police themselves have proven all too much and all too willing to work against the French people. And there was an interesting story came out of Italy this week. The Italians have said, look, we're coming down on the side of the yellow vest. They've actually put it out publicly. We support the yellow vest. Don't give up. Don't give up. And I've been saying not the same thing, but in my own way, I said you can't give up, because the French establishment, which of course is entrenched via the banking systems and Jewish systems, if they ever get a chance to breathe, recoil, and reattack and go back on the counterattack, they're going to smash those in the yellow vests. They're going to destroy them, and it is going to be a nasty fallout. The French have gone too far for their own good, if you want to look at it from a point of view where they have to now struggle. But the French, quite frankly, have no choice. The Italians, perhaps recognizing this, have said, look, don't give up. We stand behind you. And have even, the Italians, that is, have said that they will provide some material support, including setting up institutions or whatever. So it's going to be a very interesting time now going further and forward into France and what happens inside throughout Europe. Because quite frankly, what the Jewish community has created for all of us across all of our lands is unconscionable. It's something that must be dealt with. Actually, Jewish power, straight up, must be dealt with. You know, the United States is going into now its 22nd day, literally its 22nd day of shutdown. And all of this is due to what? Really, it's being done because of a failure of Jewish policies. It's being done because of failure of Jewish leadership. Everything in the House and the Senate, if you start to peer and peel back the onion, is Jewish controlled. Pelosi is Jewish. Schumer is Jewish. Many of these politicians, in fact, this is the most Jewish right now, the U.S. government at the legislative level is twice as Jewish as the population itself, representation wise. So these people are literally buying their way into our governments and creating policies and creating, creating policies is enough, huh? That are destroying our countries. And we should be holding Jewish people accountable. If Jews want to sit there and say everything is anti-Semitic, then we have a right now to stand up and say that's fine, because you are anti-American. You are anti-Western. You are even anti-human. There is no reason why we should continue to cower in the face of all of these weaponized words. Anyways, we've got this situation now. Two things going on, obviously, in the United States. You know, I talk to people here in the Middle East, you know, and they talk about, you know, all this bad weather we're having. There's a very bad storm blew through Lebanon the other day, 5-day storm. It left literally many, many thousands of Syrian refugees without any homes. I think 16, 15 refugee camps were absolutely destroyed. Another 61 damaged. 361 were affected of some 1,000. I forget the numbers. I gave it to you on Thursday if you were listening. But, you know, that's nothing compared to America, man. Come on. America, we're going to have a storm in America, you guys. It's happening right now as we speak. It's a storm that's going from the Rockies and on into the plains, and that was starting yesterday, and it's going to continue, I guess, through, I guess, midday today. The system started as rain from Mexico and turned to snow as it met some cold air up from the Canadian area. Although with all the hot air coming from Trudeau, I'm surprised you guys don't have global warming up in Canada, man. Trudeau's something. But anyways, as the storm heads east, up to 16 inches of snow are likely in areas like Missouri, St. Louis. Areas could get as much as 6 inches in Kansas, Arkansas, and up to 4 inches of snow in Washington, D.C., which is already snowed down. I mean, they've been shut down because of all of this lack of ability to pay their bills and actually have money. Now, the storm is expected, of course, to create havoc across the central part of the country and into the mid-Atlantic states. And what we always like to track, FlightAware.com, which is a flight tracking website, reported 1,431 flight cancellations on Friday. 12,000. That's a lot, man. 12,465 delays with problems at snow-hit areas like Denver. And, of course, that starts to backlog. Several big airlines are waiving the change fees, which is a good thing, I guess. Southwest, Delta, United, and Frontier had all waived their fees for travelers flying through various airports that were affected by the storm. Isn't that nice of them? But that's really a good thing, so that's good. All right, good morning, everybody. I feel my voice might be opening up a little bit as I'm trying to expel all of this air. Hey, if you're just joining us and you're just new to Inside the Eye Live, give it a chance, everybody. Don't be so quick, or if you're busy, check it up, pick it up on the archives. You know, we've been doing this show a long time, 2011, quite frankly. We're one of the pioneers in this genre. We're not like the Alex Jones, but we're in the same realm as an Alex Jones, I guess, the same space. He's the big gorilla. I don't know if you heard, he got sued and he lost about this Sandy Hook thing. So I'd like to get more information on that, but I don't have any information as we speak. Real quick, going on to the shutdown. We'll get this in real fast here. The shutdown of the U.S. government now. It's now in its record 22nd day. That is going to be today. It's the previous record was 21 days, and that was when Bill Clinton and a GOP-controlled Congress did not come to any type of reckoning. It lasted from December 1995 to January 1996. So this seems to be a time when you get the longer shutdowns, mainly because of the holidays, I think, and nobody wants to work. So for now, there's really no end to the sight, no end in sight for this current shutdown. And you can see why. Now, we have an estimated 800,000 federal workers have been affected by the lapse in the funding. Some of those, the most affected, like TSA agents. As far as I'm concerned, we should dump TSA. We need to go to a better system. TSA treats so many Americans as if they're the criminals, and it's unconscionable. You're treated better as an illegal alien in California than you are as an American citizen going through a U.S. airport inside of America. It's insane. TSA, as far as I'm concerned, that's one agency that should be shut down. You know, there's a lot of talk about TSA agents calling in sick and, oh, this is causing problems. Guys, we should absolutely just get rid of TSA as an operation and return this back to some semblance of logical hands. Most of us Americans are not criminals. We do not need to be treated like that. You know, I deal with travel all the time. I mean, I'm going either from here to Jordan, here, Dubai, maybe somebody else, someplace else from time to time. I have never seen, quite frankly, America be as professional as overseas. Now, try to grasp that. Probably because Americans are more docile. You know, something to factor in there. Americans are very docile. They don't protest. They don't speak up. But everywhere else in the world, I mean, you know, if you're a government and you make a lot of problems, trust me, you're going to have problems by the people. They don't just stand still and allow you to just run roughshod over them. And that's kind of the way it goes. So anyways, we're 22 days into this darn thing. White House officials are expecting it to be very quiet this weekend. Nothing is actually planned. There's no meetings between the White House and congressional staff. Last weekend, senior White House staff traveled to Camp David for meetings with acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. He has led the shutdown talks for the executive branch, and officials pre-taped interviews with television networks so they could get the message out on the Sunday shows. Now, as of last night, only Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has been scheduled for any meaningful appearance this weekend, and the president has insisted on more than, of course, $5 billion. Now, what I really am becoming, I don't know how to say it, you know, because Jews are such idiots when you come to their reporting. You know, I mean, you know, the fake news idea. They're just idiots. Really, they're just dumb. But every time you turn, it's always about the wall, the wall, the wall. We don't need the wall. Guys, it's not a wall. It's an integrated system. Border security issues, staffing, personnel, which is staffing, of course. I guess I'm trying to be impressive and give you a bigger word, right? But personnel, what do you call that? Other technology like cameras and other types of border surveillance type of systems, improvements in tracking of migrants and that have kind of absconded here on our own countries. And of course, look, they do that in every country, folks. It's just the way it works, and we need to do it also. I feel for the good people out there. I really do. But at the same time, America has to. It's the Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for politically aware. Back with right after. Everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Today's date is January the 12th, 2019. Good Saturday morning to all of you listening again out there in the United States and Canada. And of course, if you're where we are, which is like European, mid-European time zones, it's already evening. We're 6:34 in the evening. And it's a nice, it's been a nice day. I honestly do feel like I'm getting like a flu, something like that. You know, interesting story. Obviously this is fundraising part of the show, as you guys know. But, first of all, it is, again, listener sponsored support radio. It does rely really upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And I know a lot of us are working overtime. Quite frankly, I've been working overtime trying to solve the Skype issues, trying to get calls to actually land back on my board so I can actually take the call. You know, we had a long discussion last night, you know, about Skype, and it's almost as if, and I swear, that Microsoft has replaced the entire team of Skype developers, that these developers are data people. They're not voice people. They don't know what the heck they're doing, quite frankly, in a telecommunications realm. They might know how to do some data stuff, you know, but it's voice. Morons, 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 morons. You know, we used to say all the time, voice is king, and voice is still king. Trust me in that, the telecom world. Voice is king. You don't make money per se with data. You need me to take a phone call. That's what I pay for. You know, I'm like looking at the Skype development as, you guys are stupid. I'm not paying you for the data part of it. All of this funny stuff you're putting in there. That's all well and good, but I don't care. I pay you for voice. Hello, Mr. Skype, Mr. Microsoft. We pay you for voice. We're not paying you for all this fancy stuff you moronic H-1B visa holders think is important. The dumbest, I swear, Skype is one of the dumbest people ever since they replaced the development team. But anyways, to make all of this stuff happen, guys, it takes money. Seriously, it takes money. And just keep things going. You know, support the network, support yours truly. And everything is great per se. No one's complaining. We've been able to manage for years and years, and we suspect we still will, but it doesn't happen without your support. On behalf of yours truly here, like last night. Last night I was telling you about everything crashing on the floor, right? Well, when it crashed on the floor, I actually broke my microphone holder, the mic holder, the mic clip that goes on the boom here. And that's a bad thing because I only have one left. And then I went out today to buy a couple more. I always want spares for something like that because these are clips. I like them. They're quick release clips. And but they do break. They're not like forever type of thing. But it's easy to take things on and off, you know, just kind of squeeze it here and pull it out, pull it in. It's kind of cool. And I went to the place where I normally buy these things and they're completely out. Out. I said, what do you mean you're out, man? You sell the mic stands, but you don't have clips to put on them. And then they're showing me these stupid clips that they're so small, my mic wouldn't even fit inside those things. I said, okay, so what I got to do now, I got to actually go buy them from Amazon. I hate to give Amazon my money, but they just do things so cheap, at least from America, and bring some here. So I'm going to go buy half a dozen. I think they're like $9 for three of these things. I'm going to buy half a dozen, you know, for $18, pay about $7 in shipping. And you know what's interesting about buying stuff online nowadays, especially like an Amazon. And I know they don't treat their workers the best, but you know, we got to watch our money too. It's your money. You're the ones donating the money, right? So I'm spending your money, not my money. And your help sponsors, and this is what the show needs, right? So it's bizarre. I can actually pull six of these right now with nothing in the area where I live. I can actually buy six of these from Amazon, ship them here for cheaper than I can actually go hire a taxi, go to a store locally, buy them here, which is still at international prices, and then bring them back. It's actually cheaper to buy it in America. Plus, and that includes paying the import duties to get it in. There's now taxes to bring things in the country. And it's cheaper. I'm like, man, I can buy three of these for $9. That's good. They normally cost me about $3 each, quite frankly. When they were local, they cost me like, I think, $5 here before. And yeah, so I'm going to have to go buy those this week because I can't operate without a spare, because if this breaks now, I have no mic and that's going to be a bad thing. So I got to buy that this week. So thanks to Jim Fire in the chat room. I haven't seen you yet, Jim Fire, because I haven't looked. But Jim Fire, if you're there in the chat room, thank you again. Jim is part of the $5 a month club, basically. And his $5 donation came in this week. We have a few of those that come in every month. So if you'd like, join the $5 a month club and support Inside the Eye Live equally. Because you know what? Without your support, I can't like do all this stuff. I mean, we can, but you know what I mean. So thanks so much for that, Jim Fire. Let's see. The ITEL Cat Report. It's proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures great and small. It's independently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk and by Blackburn Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. He's an NSA whistleblower, a 9/11 truth advocate, a former 32-degree Mason, and a former North Carolina House candidate. You can catch Blackburn Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. And for more information, of course, visit blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org. And you'll catch all the listen live links in his chat room. He's got, once again, one of the better esoteric / with links to political shows going, kind of like throwback show, but it's very popular. And he's even got his own study group, Blackbird 9 study group or something like that on Facebook, which is kind of interesting. It has nothing to do with Frederick. That's somebody, just his listeners throwing things together. So that's kind of cool. I don't even have that, man. There's no fetch study group. I don't have one of those anymore. Anyways, Cat Report, not a whole lot going on. One eye has been a little bit behaved. It looks like mating season's almost done now in Jordan. It's been really cold, really windy. And so, but basically one eye's been very kind. We don't worry about him too much. He goes out and he comes right back. I have absolutely no news now on Spiker and Blackie or Lucky. No, Blackie. No news whatsoever. I'm going to have to call home after the show and say, hey, what's going on with Spiker and Blackie? Are they still hanging out? I'm sure they are because we feed them, but I haven't heard any news whatsoever. You know, I called home yesterday and I swear, man, you could hear Bruiser screaming up a storm. I'm like, man, that's insane. Absolutely insane the way this guy was going on. He just was elevating that voice. It's like, man, you're crazy, dude. Come on, relax a little bit, would you? So they had to actually go out, quiet him down. And then One Eye loves his chicken, everybody. If you bring chicken home, he can be sound dead asleep. Literally dead asleep. And then when you bring the chicken home, he will wake up and he will come sit down at the table and he will wait patiently for you to give him some morsels from the chicken. Well, yesterday I was not there, but they said, hey, let's, they went to go to what we call Balad. It's like downtown Amman. And there's a nice restaurant there that's got some very cheap, fried type chicken. So they said, well, let's buy some chicken. I want to give some to One Eye. So they took the chicken home and they were in the kitchen and then they came back and, the girl that's staying at the house, she says, hey, Bernard, Mr. B, where's the chicken? Did you leave it in the car? He said, no, I put it on the table. He said, no, it's not here. Well, One Eye had gone up. He stole the chicken and he had taken it under the table and he basically ate the chicken all by himself. He figured with Dad not there, I'm going to lose my manners a little bit and I'm just going to go steal this thing on top of. And, so basically yesterday, One Eye ate really well, guys. He just kind of stole the chicken. Anyways, that's the Itel Cat Report again, proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all things great and small, and by Blackbird Nines Trading Post, Blackbird Nines Breakfast Club, I should say. Again, the radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. Again, you can catch Blackbird Nines Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening again, 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. For more information, visit BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org. That's BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org. Again, for more information. And let's see, you know, it's tough to do this with one eye, guys, but we're ready.
Oi, vey. Oi, Gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oi, vey.
Oi, vey.
Oi, vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at EurofolkRadio.com. To listen, simply visit EurofolkRadio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link or visit AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And this week's Oy vey moment, really we don't have one. We got a couple, a series of Oy vey moments. The first one we're going to do is going to come out of the UK. And again, we want to highlight to you, the listener, the degree to which Jewish power monitors opposition to its plan to destroy our countries. And that's really what's going on here. If you raise any, as we all know now, everything in this world is anti-Semitic, everything. If I were to say to you that the House of Representatives basically serves Jewish interests, I would be called an anti-Semite. If I were to say to you that Schumer is more interested in Jewish interests than American interests, I would be called an anti-Semite. If I were to say to you that the state of Israel is the main impediment to peace in the Middle East, I would be branded an anti-Semite. So it doesn't matter what you say anymore regarding the Jewish problem that we have, they are going to label you as an anti-Semite. So basically what an anti-Semite is nowadays, or at least in the extended version of its definition, it is essentially opposition to Jewish idiocy in the political realm. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. These guys are morons. Their policies have been absolutely destructive to our lands. The 30% or so odd Swedish women who have suffered either rapes or sexual harassment they would be a testament to the idiocy of Jewish policies. When we look at the crimes that are committed throughout Europe as a part of the Kalergi plan and Jewish efforts to flood our countries with refugees, this is a standing daily example of the failures of Jewish policies. When we look at the U.S. government shutdown and the way in which the Jewish leadership of our country has stood in the way of putting together a rational, solid, sovereign solution to the United States government and its territory, well, that's a standing testament to the idiocy of Jewish policies. And when you look at what's going on inside of Canada and the way in which the Canadians are continuously being harangued for even daring to speak open, where you can write a parody something about something that Jews wrote 40, 50 years ago and then land yourself in prison, like Arthur Topham, that explains clear and is a demonstrated, or let's say a shining example of Jewish idiocy. No matter where you look, Jewish policies are failures, period. Show me one that is not a failure, and you would, okay, we'll raise it to the fore. But for us in the West, Jewish policies run counter to everything that we stand for. I saw something in CNBC the other day. It's time that we reevaluate the First Amendment. It's too broad. We can't continue to protect Nazis. No, our point here is that if you're going to come to the American people and the British people and the French people and the Italians and everybody here in the West, and I know the Europeans don't have the same mentality about freedom of speech as we do in America, then it's time for us to say it's time to stop protecting the Jewish people. You cannot use your political organs, your media organs, to call on destroying our rights to speak openly about the problems we face, to properly address the failures of Jewish policies, and then sit back and tell us that somehow we should not be protected anymore. Because once you go down that line, we should not be protecting Jewish speech anymore. This is open warfare on the American people, and it should be viewed as such. It should not be viewed as something you just sweep under the cover. Oh yeah, the Nazis. Don't ever allow yourself to be pushed into that type of cowardly conduct in the face of these totalitarian, Talmudic, I can't even get my words out. I'm so upset with what I read today. Now, to give you a highlight as to just how paranoid, but how precise Jewish people are about monitoring their power base and the resentment towards their power base, they came out with a very interesting story. 170,000 searches containing anti-Semitic content are made each year in the United Kingdom. That's the story, Times of Israel. That's according to a new study. Now, how is it that Jews are getting all of this information to be talking about it? How many anti-white tweets were out there? How many anti-Chinese tweets were out there? Why doesn't whoever released this report release it on everybody? How many anti-American? How many anti-Jewish? How many anti-British? How many anti-French? What is the comprehensive listing here? Why is it only about Jews that we hear about? Oh, we're not whining, folks. We're just reporting. We're reporting what is being said out there. And the fact of the matter is, why are Jews so obsessed with having this type of information? Now, there's something called the Community Security Trust and Anti-Semitism Policy Trust. Again, it's another nonprofit NGO, probably financed by some Jewish billionaire who shifted taxes from him to you, because you now are going to pay for the fact that he didn't pay those taxes. And they come out with this. Said some 10% of these searches included violent language with evil and racist. Are you kidding me? Are you people? I swear, I'm getting to the idea here that Jewish people are just completely idiotic, because this is targeting Jewish people. This is in the Times of Israel. Can you imagine that these people are so childish, so moronically stupid that they eat this stuff up as if it's actually important? And then this stuff influences, guess what? Their policies. And what do those policies do? They are there to destroy you, your family, your community, and your nation. Because they're influenced by this type of thinking. They go on to say, I wish I had my touchscreen working. Oh, this touchscreen is working. Cool. However, the number of searches are Jews evil, dropped by 10%. Well, are Jews evil? Like, do bears, you know, crap in the woods type of thing? Yeah, they are. In many cases, yes, they are. And that is not something that should be considered as being anti-Semitic. It should be seen as being searching for truth. Now, if you're telling me now in the Jewish community that searching for truth is anti-Semitic too, now you're totally against nature itself. And you know what? If you're going to go and attack us and say, is the First Amendment is too broad, we need to stop protecting Nazis. Well, again, how about we stop protecting evil Jews and the media, which are enemies of us, the American people? Why don't we take away the free speech rights of every single Jewish writer in America? It's time for us to stop protecting Jews. They keep spreading all these lies and nonsense. See, that's their logic, but they just churn it to Nazi. And it was, oh, yeah, give us a break. Most, it says here, of the anti-Semitic searches on Google were for jokes about Jews. Well, hey, jokes are comedians, right? We've all seen Sarah Silverman. What a disgusting, filthy piece of you-know-what. But she's a comedian, right? So what's wrong with searching for jokes for Jews? How is that anti-Semitic? Seriously, how would that be considered anti-anything? You're just searching for jokes for Jew. How is that anti-anything? I'm looking for a joke about a Jew. How is that anti-anything? Think about it. Because you're the one making the determination. You have a balance in your head. You have a scale. It either is or it isn't, right? Perhaps there's a lot of reasons to look for jokes about Jews. Quite frankly, it doesn't have to be anti-Semitic, but it certainly has to be elevating awareness of Jewish people. Now, how is that anti-Semitic? If you're raising awareness, how are you being anti-anything? You're not anti-anything, you're raising awareness. See how you start to twist the words? The area of the UK with the highest number of anti-Semitic, see, they track it down to the areas, man. That's how insane these Jewish people are. The area of the UK with the highest number of anti-Semitic searches was Wales. So Wales, you get the prize for being the most enlightened part of England, okay? We're gonna send the Inside the Eye Live Enlightenment plaque to you or something like that. Now, that is according to a study where searches were just as common in cities which primarily vote for the opposition Labor Party. Well, that would make sense since the Jewish press is constantly on Labor's case. It would make sense that people would start to look for stuff about Jews equally since you're bringing it up every other 22 seconds. Hello. Now, the report recorded a 79% jump in anti-Semitic searches in April. See, they break it down. Whoa, yeah, so 79%. And somebody got paid to look this stuff up, guys. Somebody made, while you're out there working, okay? While you are working to put food on your family's table, somebody got paid to produce this crap. And they got paid handsomely to produce this crap. And you paid for it because it went out to a nonprofit organization. Tell me how this is fair. Maybe it's time we stop protecting Jewish organization, nonprofit organizations. If they're going to do it, you can do it, but you don't get any taxes off on this. Maybe that would be a smart idea. Now imagine, they're reporting a 79% jump in anti-Semitic searches in April, which most of these coming the day after Labor leader Jeremy Corbyn met with Jewish leaders to discuss the rampant anti-Semitism. There was no rampant anti-Semitism. This is the Times of Israel lying to us, the people who are reading, and its own base. For what? To make Jews hate everybody. It's the Fed, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Vag Inside the iLife. I hope that rant didn't get you too stressed out, guys. You know, I'm just like trying to keep things calm here, you know, on a Saturday afternoon in Riyadh. All right, good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a good Saturday. Hope you've cuddled up with a nice cup of coffee. I know it's kind of winter time now. So if you guys obviously have done that, good for you. I have actually neglected to go grab some tea. I meant to do so during the first break. Actually, I got the water going the first break, and I forgot because I'm just figuring what the heck am I going to talk about the second hour here. But anyways, we're here. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, Revolution Radio, revolution.radio. Again, of course, you can meet me over at insidetheeyelive.com, insidetheeyelive.com. Click on the live chat button. It's kind of humming around pretty good right at the moment. I'm trying to check to see here what's going on. It's a medium size. I wouldn't call it humming. It's a medium size over there, to be truthful, fair reporting. But nonetheless, join us there inside the iLive.com. Click on the live chat button, and that would be a good thing. Let's see. We're trying to get some reports out of Syria, and two things that we do know is going on right now. Number one, the Israelis. The Israelis, for the most part, obviously we're shifting to Middle East, so welcome to second hour here, guys. But yeah, we're shifting a little bit. The Israelis, as we all know, continue to just bombard Syria. Now, yesterday, the Israelis basically attacked the international airport in Damascus, which is, of course, egregiously irresponsible. To say the least, it would not be possible without the United States assistance. As far as we are concerned, guys, this is no different than somebody, rogue agents like down in Mexico attacking Los Angeles International Airport or something to that degree. That's basically what the Israelis are doing right now. They're basically like attacking Los Angeles International Airport and all the traffic and everything that's going on. Now, most of the missiles, thank goodness to Russian technology, apparently, which, you know, people keep saying by the way, the military industrial complex, you know, our military is dumb. Here's why. They allow too many Jews into high levels of power. Okay, straight up. They allow it. They consult with them daily, literally daily. They have embedded Israeli operatives everywhere. The Israelis are not our friend. They attacked us on 9/11, but our military like invites them into the door. Our secrets get sold out to the Israelis for free, basically. Israel turns around and sells probably a lot of this information to the Russians and the Chinese, but they're not buying our technology, folks, because U.S. technology, with all due respect, isn't all that great when it comes to the battlefield. Well, now we may have some really trick stuff in the secret world, but the battlefield stuff isn't all that great. You know, it's never really met an actual war. Quite frankly, it does maintain some technological superiority, so to speak. But again, it's not like, you know, in the universe, it's not like it's all that great. Okay, so the Israelis aren't helping the Russians and the Chinese build technology that like mimics America stuff. No, what it's doing is it's basically making American technology obsolete. That's what it's doing. It because the Chinese and the Russians now can understand exactly how the principles are working and then create the technology to defeat it. That's what's going on. Furthermore, the Russians, quite frankly, they've gone in a whole different direction than the United States. The United States has built a military that has been all about protecting the U.S. dollar, protecting banking empires, destroying nations that don't basically give their banking sovereignty over to this shadow cabal called the New World Order or the Rothschild Banking Syndicate, whatever you want to call it. So they've had a different way of going about. America was all about power projection. But the Chinese and the Russians are not so much about power projection. They're really into it for just knockout capability only. They know that they cannot go into an extended war with the Americans. So just knock them out. Just knock them out. I mean, make it so painful that if you try anything, we're not going to try to fight you on the battlefield. We're going to destroy you on the home front. We're just going to nuke you to death, basically. We got hypersonic missiles now that you cannot catch up to. And essentially, the Russians have pulled way ahead on the Americans because America has essentially a fraudulent, how do we milk the economy type of weapons procurement department. It's not all that wonderful, you know what I mean? And furthermore, the Americans simply cannot be trusted. That's really true. Americans cannot be trusted as a general rule, because if you fall afoul of the Americans, as we've all seen, you get sanctioned, you get your spare parts cut off, a lot of things happen to you. So basically, you, when you do business with the Americans, you have to be lily white clean to the American system. As long as you're lily white clean, you can rely on the Americans. But the second you veer off of anything and some Jewish guy in some high level committee doesn't like you anymore, you've got problems. It's really that kind of simple. So you got to be very, very careful. And yeah, someone's saying in the chat room, you know, when it comes to production, raw industrial production, quite frankly, the Chinese can keep up with the Americans all day long, quite frankly. No problem nowadays. Thanks to American technology that was shipped off to China. And again, who created that? Your Jewish population. Literally your Jewish population. So where were we? Syria last 24 hours. We've seen military convoys from Russia now heading up into the Idlib area. We've seen more and more missile strikes from the Israelis. Again, this would not be possible without U.S. Backing, you know, because we support them. I mean, Israel's a shitty little country, everybody. Trust us. It's a shitty little country run by shitty little people. I mean, that's kind of a good way to look at the Israelis and the Israeli people. They're just it's true. It's a shitty little country. I hate to use the profanity there, but I'm just kind of like saying how it is. It's a shitty little country with shitty little people. They're mean, arrogant, cowards. But we've seen a lot of, like last night, Syrian air defenses again shot down Israeli missiles. The missiles were intercepted around 11 o'clock last night, GMT time. Only a Ministry of Transport warehouse at the Damascus International Airport was hit, according to the Syrian Arab News Agency. The Israel has previously carried out many other bombings, of course, in Syria, hundreds, to be honest. Now, many of them have been in the area south of Damascus, but they've never, ever gone and hit the airport itself. Now, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed not to let Iran, a supporter of Syrian President Bashar Assad, entrench itself military. Dude, too late. You're already too late, dude. Forget it. On December 25th, Assad accused the Israeli Air Force of firing missiles again near Damascus. That was actually done because they were trying to duplicate what happened to the Aleutian IL-20. On Christmas Day, they were trying to goad Syrian air defenses into shooting down a civilian aircraft. That, folks, is how cowardly, literally how cowardly the Jewish people are. You know, they can whine all day long, but they are cowardly people, very, very cowardly people. They do not deserve America's support for one second. There's a story coming out of the Scotsman. You know, the Scotsman, and that's, of course, in Scotland. It's Scotland's national newspaper, bold headlines. And again, it tells you the degree to which Jews will lie to our faces. It says here, anti-Semitic hate murdered Anne Frank, and now it's returning. That's right. Well, first of all, Anne Frank wasn't murdered. She was rounded up as part of a policy that was endemic across the West. Jews were an enemy combatant force within National Socialist Germany in the West. They're actually an enemy combatant force among our nations today, but we just haven't done anything yet. But nonetheless, she wasn't murdered. She was healthy. But Jewish American people, geniuses inside of our Pentagon, decided to bomb all of those supply routes, and she died of typhus. And a lot of people died of typhus. But I don't see this Scots newspaper talking about how Jews engineered the death of 7 to 9 million Germans after the war. Again, we need to hit hard these organizations that continue to push these false fake news narratives in our faces, because everything is being done for an agenda. Why would they have to push this in Scotland? Because they want Jewish control in Scotland, and they don't want you to be against anything Jewish in Scotland. So let's guilt trip you for a while. And if you're dumb enough to be guilt tripped at this stage of the historical cycle, I feel bad for you, not for the Jewish people who did it to you, because they're going to do it to you until you figure it out. And even so, they're going to try to jail people just because they obviously don't want it out. But it says here, a little over 4 years ago, says, I emerged from a dark tunnel of the Vod Yashem Holocaust Memorial. Okay, well, that's something that should be torn down. Obviously, this person is disturbed. It's created a hatred inside of this person. We must assume that this memorial is all about creating hatred by Jewish people towards all of us, because we have nothing to do with this. Now, the metaphor, she says, is inescapable, but a deliberate feature of a journey through the museum with chronicles of one of the darkest periods of modern history. No, it's not the darkest period of modern history. The period was, but it's never been chronicled. What has to be chronicled is Jewish crimes against humanity. And in this type of article, it explicitly denies Jewish culpability in the crimes that resulted in so many Jews being rounded up in Germany. That's the true story. It's just the same as the Japanese. They were rounded up. Now, how many of you complain about the Japanese? And how many of you hear the Japanese whining every 5 minutes on national television or newspapers because they were rounded up in 1941 and now you need to pay them billions of dollars in compensation because, hey, all this hatred towards the Japanese. How many of you have we ever heard the Japanese community deal with it on this level? Ever? Ever? Why don't we start telling Jewish people, shut up and behave like the Japanese and just be happy you're not in jail yourself? Because that's what they have in mind for you, regardless, if you don't bow down to them. And in which case, if you don't stand up, they're going to destroy you and your country, your community, your family. Anyways, so, okay, what do you want to do? Anyways, they're trying to sell this thing again as all this evil coming up and returning to the UK. And they're so ridiculous, guys. They're reporting this in national newspapers. I mean, my goodness. The highest figure for anti-Semitic incidents was 1,414 in a 12-month period in 2017. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? We'll have 1,717 anti-white incidents within 4 days in America, if not more, maybe more. But why aren't Jews chronicling that? Because it's not in their interest. So guess what? If they're not going to chronicle the hatred towards Western European Americans inside of their own country, what makes you think that they actually have anything, any sentiments towards you to begin with? They don't. In fact, they hate you. Vast majority of Jews, whether you like it or not, they hate you. They hate what you stand for. They hate, as George Bush so famously said, they hate your freedoms. And that's the truth. They hate your freedoms. So that's coming out of the Scotland newspaper. Then we kind of run over to America. Ventura County, California. Top line, published January 12, 2019, editorial. Anti-Semitism is an attack on us all. Do you realize that these people have been spreading this BS talking point for the past like 7-8 years? Anti-Semitism is an attack on us all. Now, how is an attack on me and you? It's not. Because what they want you to assume is that you're in bed with Jewish people. Now, if Jews are going to tell you that if there's anti-Semitic stuff going on and they're going to attack you and they're going to threaten you, okay, then now I kind of get where you're coming from. But think about it. Ventura County, California, headlines. Ventura County Star, kind of a big newspaper. Anti-Semitism is an attack on us all. Are you guys crazy? The latest incidents, they say, occurred last week of January when vandals spray-painted swastika graffiti on the signboard in front of Temple Beth Torah in Ventura. We never imagined we would encounter something like this in Ventura. Oh, go whine us a song already. Who cares? Seriously, who cares? With the amount of damage your community has caused to the entire nation, your extended community, you're lucky it's only a swastika sometimes, I sometimes imagine. Says that same week they learned of this disturbing. Why are you using? See, the way I read this stuff, I become seriously angry at the stupidity of Jewish writers because they continue to use adjectives and gerunds and all that kind of cool stuff that is meant to be offensive to us who are readers. Says here, that same week we also learned of a disturbing incident at Matilija Junior High School in Ojai. Oh boy, 9 students there formed a human swastika. Oh, big frickin' deal. Really, big frickin' deal, you morons. What's disturbing is that you and the Jewish community actually find a need to actually talk about this stuff. That is disturbing. The fact that Jewish people are obsessed with every little minor demonstration of individuality in our great country and to see it as negatives all the time, that is disturbing. The reaction from the Jewish community has to be the most disturbing issue of this entire thing. And this is how we have to start pushing on this to make it to where it's unpalatable that they continue to be offensive to us, because it is offensive, guys. This is an existential war. And in an existential war, as in any war, you have offense and you have defense. You have offense and you have defense. These types of articles are meant to be offensive. They are meant to put you on the defensive. Consequently, they're offensive, right? Because you're on the defensive. You got to defend all this. But why? Who cares? Seriously. We should sit there and say, are you guys so obsessed? Do you realize how stupid you guys sound? And we should just make it out to be this way, folks. We have to drive them underground with our own. Because that's what this is intended to do. You get what they're doing out here? Seriously. Do you understand how the game is being played inside of this rhetorical circus? They are trying to drive every bit of opposition underground and afraid to be out there in the public eye. Okay, fine. We get what you're doing. Now you make it impossible for them to continue to be this stupid. That's how you start to return it back. There's this porn star. She's Jewish. Jenna Jameson. I don't know who she is, but I seen it on Twitter. She's quit Twitter now because of, quote unquote, the anti-Semitism. Good. Good. You want to drive these people underground. Because you know what? If she were still there, she'd have 400,000 or 500,000 tweets, Twitter followers, and she'd be like, oh, anti-Semitism is a scourge. And all these 400,000 or 500,000 idiots are going to say, yeah, it's a scourge. Oh, yeah. And they're basically writing their own death sentences. Drive them underground, folks. Drive them underground. This is intended to drive the American people underground. Literally, this is intended to drive us underground. It has nothing to do with it. 9 kids did a swastika. So frickin' what? You know what? I've seen tens of thousands of Jews go to Washington and work on policies with AIPAC that are counter to the American way of life and counter to the American country itself. I don't see anybody reporting about the counter-American activities of Jewish people. But, oh, a swastika by 9 kids. And that's a headline news here. You know, this one particular story about the 9 kids, 12 students total, it seems. School officials, they say, found out about it later when a parent told them. A parent told them about an online chat among 12 students that included photos of the human swastika. We want you to know that in no way do we think these interactions characterize our school as a whole. Well, first of all, there's nothing to be characterized by it to begin with. It's a non-starting, non-issue story that nobody should care about. And if these kids want to do that, big deal. It's their right as Americans to do what they want. And we should be supporting the kids, not this stupid school official trying to make it out as if somehow they got to apologize for something, because they don't. These kids have absolutely every right to do what they want. And real Americans should be supporting them and hounding down anybody that tries to stop these kids from demonstrating and just essentially being themselves as kids. Trust me, guys, there's lots of crap going on in the Jewish community every day that if you had your own papers and you had your own television shows, you got nothing to fill it with. Trust me, I'm doing radio now. Guys, I got to do 3 hours. I got to fill it with something, right? So what do Jews fill all their empty time with? Basically telling you that you're a low-life sleazebag anti-Semite, and that's how they fill their time. Think about it. Stop being like intimidated. Think about just the pragmatic stuff of this. These guys are idiots. They got nothing to talk about. So what do? They talk about some kids on a swastika. They go fill some space on a newspaper. And they're like, oh, no, they're filling space on a newspaper with a non-issue that shows that they're anti-American. That's how stupid they are. That's how you start to deal with these people. Of course, I would take phone calls if you disagree with me even. But Skype's got my phones down, you know. I'll tell you, man, sometimes, I mean, from monitoring 170,000, okay, I wonder how much we're in America. You know, 170,000 searches were anti-Semitic. And you know what? We should decide that. We should decide what's quote unquote anti-Semitic. We should look at this information and we should get back to them and say, you know what? I'll tell you what. Of this, maybe these 10 were really, really anti-Semitic. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from on this. But you Jews can't be the judge, jury, and executioner here. You need to give it to us. We'll tell you whether it's anti-Semitic because you guys are too stupid. You think everything is anti-Semitic. I went to the airport yesterday, and it was the Sabbath, and I wasn't supposed to be there. But did you see all these anti-Semites working on Saturday? Oy vey, oy vey. Oh, it's terrible. America should shut down on Saturday because we Jews demand it. Yeah, maybe we're going to go back to that one day. We're gonna get rid of working on Saturdays like they do here in the Middle East on Friday because Jews say, hey, it's the Sabbath. You can't work on our holy day. We're tired of you being anti-Semitic. What you're driving on a Saturday? That's anti-Semitic. You're eating on a Saturday? Oh, that's anti-Semitic. Because it is. Technically, it's anti-Semitic. Why don't Jews talk about that? The whole world's anti-Semitic because we all don't like take their Saturdays off. So, okay, yeah, we're anti-Semites. Go figure. I'm telling you, man. This whole issue kind of cracks me up. To be honest with you, it cracks me up because when I see it and I see how it's being deployed inside of government policies, you know, and knowing how the Jewish people operate as a general rule, they believe in this idea called never again. And if you don't know what never again is, you should by now because they kind of like fill their empty space telling you. But never again means never again should Auschwitz ever happen again. Never again. We should never get rounded up again and put into work camps because, hey, the only way we want to work is by tyrannizing everybody else. Then it's okay. But that's the problem. They don't know when to stop. They don't know when to just say, hey, enough is enough. We've milked these people for so long. It's a good gig for us. They're stupid. They're blind. We dudes are so smart. We got all their money now. And half of their people are now living out on the streets, which is exactly what many of our early founding fathers of America told us would happen if Jews ever came and rose to power. And it's all actually been pretty well predicted, and it's now true today. But gosh darn it, don't ever complain. Don't complain, guys. That's an anti-Semitic thing to do. That's anti-Semitic. We got about maybe 3 minutes to go, something like that. Not a whole lot of time to go before the next break. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. When I come back, I'm hoping to pull up some information about what's going on inside of France. That would be kind of cool if I can get some really good stuff quick. But excuse me. It was interesting, though, you know, going back to Syria real quick, you know, Bolton, you know, oh, there's the break. Never mind. All right. It's The Fetch. Thanks so much. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. I forgot to go get my tea again. I'm just kind of like snowed under here. It's The Fetch. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Again, good Saturday morning. 7:33 local time here in Riyadh. So it's kind of getting into the evening hours, get into like making me kind of hungry hours. You know, funny thing is, guys, I went, just a kind of a fun story here. I went to the store. I wanted to go buy a couple more microphone clips, you know, and I've been very frugal as of late, you know, just trying to save money, right? Like the rest of you guys, a lot of you anyways. So I need the clips. If this breaks, I'm out of business type of thing. So I need to buy one more clip for sure. And they didn't have it, right? So there's a car for nearby. And I thought, okay, I have only like 500 rial, which is like 100 and I don't know, 140, not that much. It's like 190 rial. 500 rial. How much is that in US dollar? It's like $130, $120, something like that, US dollar. And I'm like, okay, I gotta go take a taxi home. So I think I'll just go to the car for, because, you know, 500 reals, like, that's like breaking a $100 bill. Not everybody has it in the morning, right? So I went to the car for it, and I thought, okay, let me do some shopping. I'll just do a little shopping, you know, just a little bit. And I swear, by the time I was done, I burned over 300 some out of that stuff, man. I'm like, I almost burned $100 today. And I'm like, what the heck did you buy? What the heck are you doing, man? And like, but anyways, I got some cool stuff. I'm going to have some very expensive Korean leek dumplings tonight. That's on the agenda tonight for dinner, with a nice garlic chili. It's going to be good, guys. So anyways, since I spent all that money, I guess I got to have to stay home and eat. But yeah, it kind of cracked me up, man. I thought I'd just spend like 120, 130 real, you know, like $20-$30 to break the hundred and some odd dollars. So I had change for the taxi to go home, because there's no way he's going to have change for that, right? You ain't going to give a taxi driver some $120, $30, $40, right? But nonetheless, what can I say, man? I was shocked. I'm like, dang, man, this country's getting expensive, or I just went crazy today. But anyways, I made it home, got everything loaded up. Everything is going good. I guess I'm stocked up for a while again. I haven't been stocking this year like normal, only because, you know, I don't want to have too much stuff here. It's not my home. You know, Jordan's my home. That's where my stock is. So if I ever had a problem, I would just have to escape back to Jordan. Not here, of course. You know, it's interesting, you know, looking at the United States government, you know, we're in our shutdown. Some of the dishonesty coming out of the Pelosi-Schumer camp, we highlighted it Thursday with the sound clips. I don't have them. I didn't save them, so I can't go find them real quick. But the idea that, you know, the Democrats right now inside of America, it's kind of like your Jewish organizations in Britain, everything, they lie about everything. And, of course, for us, they're Jewish also. So, guys, it's the same thing. It's just different flavors of the same soup. And but I'll tell you what, it's kind of crazy with the way that the Democratic people, the Jewish leadership in America, is really trying to stop, you know, just the defense of the American borders, to stop this literally this Kalergi plan migration into America. And being an expatriate who's lived overseas, who has worked very hard, like legal people in our own country in America, you know, to bring people current, to make sure their papers, to report to police stations and get visas stamped and bring the proper documentation. And, you know, I do a lot of that. I have to. I have no choice. I'm not going to do things illegally. Now, in America, as an American, you cannot overstay your visa here in Saudi Arabia. It's a massive penalty. Massive. Massive. And there's no joke. There is no ability to overstay your visa. You know, it's bad for your sponsor who brought you in, and it's bad for you equally. So you never overstay that visa, ever, ever, ever. We've had to extend it legally, but we've never overstayed, guys. Never, ever. And in America, you know, we seem to have this attitude that just open the borders, let everybody in, let them come in and do whatever they want, and it's all okay. And we can't have that in America. We really cannot. We need to return to a rational, sound border. We need to return to rational, sound foreign policies. Nowadays, believe it or not, U.S. military occupations around the world are actually supported more by the Democrats than they are the Republicans. Now, Barack Obama, he was elected as, quote unquote, a pro-peace platform, you know, back in 2008. He wins a Nobel Prize for absolutely doing nothing. And he went on to expand American military efforts exponentially over what George Bush did. And, of course, he was aided by corporate media, as the corporate media is Jewish, as we all know. And in 2016, you know, they basically went on to support the destruction of Libya. How stupid was that? Seriously, how stupid from a human being perspective was it to go destroy Libya? And to the U.S. military, seriously, to the U.S. military commanders, again, you're an institution in the United States. Where is your voice? Why are you not speaking up about politicians who are absolutely doing criminal activity? Seriously, that's my question to the American military. I as a citizen of the United States, still, at least last I heard, It's unconscionable that a proud, and it should be proud at least, it should be, I'm not saying it is, but a military organization should be proud. But how can you be proud when you go around the world committing war crime after war crime after war crime? And then you gladly jump in and destroy an entire nation like Libya. For what? Seriously, for what? Then you're behind the destruction of Syria equally. For what? What exactly are you guys doing? You know, U.S. military interventionalism, you know, it was rampant. I mean, you had Senator John McCain. He's actually visiting terrorists inside of Syria. And nobody bats an eye. He should have been arrested right then and there for basically supporting terrorism. See, so for the most part, our government inside of America, UK also, we're just not able to rein in the criminals who are running the racket. Think about it. We're just not able to. And what's really bad about this is that the mainstream media audience, they lap up this corporate media crap as if it's actually, they have for at least for quite some time. Hopefully that's changing. Hopefully that is changing. Now, Trump has tried, quite frankly, he has tried to pull back on American interventionism overseas. Now, recently what he did, he announced the troop withdrawals from Syria. And the next thing you knew, Bolton is up there saying, we're not leaving until certain conditions are met. Bolton jumps on over to Syria. He's going to go talk to President Recep Erdogan. And Recep doesn't even seem to say, get the heck out of my country, dude. Who are you? I don't listen to you. Get out of my country. You made a mistake. You're an idiot. Get out of here. Think about it. I mean, actually, our national security advisor was basically told, you're an idiot. Get out of my country. And he is. Bolton is an idiot. And this is the problem we have in America. We have too many people at the senior levels of government that are actually not that intelligent. In fact, they're stupid. They don't know how to look out for American interests. They're using American military might purely for Jewish interests. And everybody out there knows it except the American people. Now, somebody within the U.S. military, it's not being stated, said, look, when it comes to the withdrawal from Syria, we don't take orders from Bolton. Yesterday, we had a report of what, 11? Something like that? Trying to get how many people were pulled out yesterday. 10 armored vehicles and some trucks left the town of Ramayalan yesterday and drove into Iraq. That's according to Colonel Sean Ryan. He's a spokesman for the coalition, U.S. They call it coalition. It's not. It's for basically the American-Israeli occupation force inside of Syria. You can look at it that way. And that was confirmed now. The U.S. has started the process of our deliberate withdrawal from Syria. There have been folks have fought with us, they're saying, and that would be the Kurds, and it's important that we do everything we can to ensure that these folks that fought with us are protected, Pompeo said of the Kurds while visiting Erbil, the capital of Iraq's semi-autonomous Kurdistan region. However, there's not going to be a whole lot the Americans can do once they withdraw. Initially, Trump had said that the pullout would be completed within a matter of weeks, but plans became murky after the Pentagon requested 4 months to complete the withdrawal. Last night, the Wall Street Journal reported that the withdrawal would begin immediately. And then already they're reporting here scores of ground troops are headed towards Syria to help move troops out. And a group of naval vessels headed by the amphibious assault ship USS Kearsarge is headed to the region to back up troops at the vulnerable moment. They are leaving the country, the official said. The Kearsarge carries hundreds of Marines, helicopters, and other aircraft. Nothing has changed, one defense official said. We don't take orders from Bolton. That's a positive statement. We don't take orders from Bolton. You know, I haven't looked recently. But I was asked by an official inside of Baghdad to analyze a tender that came actually out from the United States Embassy for the movement of 15,000 troops inside and out of Iraq, processing of troops inside and outside of the airport of Baghdad International. So it was for like a 3-year contract, you know. So they were talking about moving 15,000 men and women, Americans, of course, in and out of Baghdad over a 3-year period. So one has to wonder whether some of that would be under this, some of this operation here might fall under that plan or that tender that was released some time ago. You have to wonder. I have to wonder because I saw the whole tender, or at least most of the tender from the U.S. government. So it's kind of interesting. What else is news out there, really, guys and gals? It's 7:44. Again, it's kind of getting late in the day now. I'm getting hungry. Actually, I'm getting hungry. Let's see. All these cookie requests, I accept. I have to accept cookies or else you can't see websites nowadays in the EU anyways. You know, the yellow vest. Let's go to the yellow vest a little bit. Northern Ireland has now experienced its very first yellow vest protest. Again, there's been yellow vest protests inside of Britain now. So it is spreading. Again, we mentioned earlier that the Italians have come out and said to the French, do not give up. Today, it was estimated that there were some 30,000. And of course, we have to assume the numbers are throttled down because that's how Jews operate. So we have to assume it's down. But 30,000 yellow vest protesters were met by some 80,000 French security forces. Now, we do know for a fact that the yellow vests have disabled something like 65%, 70% or more of the national grid that does, what do you call this, safety. They're not safety. It's basically the cameras, radar cameras that basically flash you and catch you when you're driving too fast. About 78% of this national grid of some 6,200 or 66 or 62 or 6,100, something like that in the 6,000s, has been actually disabled now. It's either they're destroyed, they're bulldozed over, tape's been put over them, bags put over them. But basically, yeah, the entire grid is now out of commission. That's a huge amount of loss in revenue to the state because, you know, that's money that they're obviously not going to be making anymore. We have 30,000 people today. It has turned violent. Again, the police have ramped up their violence against the people. And again, the Italians were interesting because the Italians, when they were talking about the Yellow Vest movement, they were saying, look, we are, of course, we condemn the use of violence. Okay, my attitude remains the same. If we condemn the use of violence, that's fine, and that's going to include the police because as we look at it, there's civilians on one side, police on the other. They're both employees. They just work for a living. Which means that both sides should not be using violence. Neither side should use violence. So the second that we see the police use water cannon, as far as I'm concerned, that's violence. Okay, that's violence. We condemn the violence of people using the water cannon. If the police open fire with tear gas, again, that's an act of violence. See, we have to condemn all this violence. So the tear gas is violent. Now, every single police officer, because they are instruments of the state, who engages in violence should be terminated. I'm not saying killed off, guys. I'm saying they should have their jobs denied. They should be actually, they should lose their jobs. And of course, every effort should be made to identify who these civilians are. They are, and look, they're just civilians, guys. They're civilians. They have a job. Their job isn't to declare war on the French people, okay? It's very simple. It's not to declare war on the French people. And if it says somewhere in the job title description of the French police, our job is to wage war against the French people, well, then obviously the French people need to stop paying their paycheck. They got to go get their money from somebody else because I'm sure the French don't agree to have the French police essentially declare war on them. So we've had the 30,000 today. They were talking about running, doing a bank run against the banks in order to withdraw as much money as possible today from the, really from the ATMs. You know, there's the idea was, hey, if we can weaken the banking system in France, that will by default weaken the state because they're basically hand in hand. That's all actually kind of true. Now, I saw some stories today and I got to look more into it, but apparently, up until 1972-73, France actually had its own national bank, and that actually changed in 1972-73, and they went to this banking system that's now like a Rothschild bank. But France actually had its own independent bank all the way up. So it basically had no debt in 1973. And all of these issues have now come about because of essentially the banking since then. Because the banking's essentially are parasites. They create no value and they only suck value. Yeah, here's $1 million. Now give us 10% from somebody else, but we don't create the $1 million type of thing. So they're going to have to go find the value. Eventually, it eats the entire economy. I was talking to a guy in the chat room, actually. I think Wolfgang. He was involved in some kind of interesting things. And you know, he had a great statement privately saying, look, you know, I talked to this Jewish lady and she says whenever Jews overplay their hand on usury, they create wars to kill off everybody. And if we just take away Jewish ability to create usury, we would actually go a long ways into solving most of the problems we have today. Because many of the problems we have is from this unlimited, unbridled greed of Jewish bankers. And it's really that simple, and it is mainly Jewish bankers. The Bank of International Settlements is in Lausanne, Switzerland, and that's the largest Jewish community inside of Switzerland. So don't kid yourself, guys. There's too much Jewish stuff going on. And when you say, oh, the others, look, who prints your money, okay? Who prints the money? And then go down from there. Now, there's been a protest inside of London. Another yellow vest campaigner, James Goddard, he was arrested in London ahead of the protest today. And it says he's a 29-year-old guy detained by police outside of St. James Park Underground Station on Saturday, today. And some of Mr. Goddard's supporters have claimed that he was set to hand himself into a police station in London. Mr. Goddard has been at the center of a controversy over confronting MPs outside the House of Parliament, including Conservative MP Anna Sobry on Monday, and he was arrested on suspicion of public order offenses in connection with incidents that happened in Westminster on Monday, according to Metropolitan Police. Now, here's the thing. If the event is already passed, this is Western tradition. You know, I don't know about you guys, Johnny Cash, you know. Listen to a little bit of Johnny Cash and Americana, and, you know, basically, like a boy named Sue, you know, they're basically, you know, willing to draw their pistols at each other, and it's a father and a son type of thing. But once it's all said and done, we all put everything back in our holsters and we go our way and just let bygones be bygones. That's kind of like a Western approach that I've always lived by this type of idea. We're not looking to make problems for you tomorrow and the next day. That's uniquely true in the Middle East. I mean, they try to make problems like for you forever, and that's the same as true in the Jewish community. They want to make problems for you forever for basically nothing. And of course that does create a lot of resentment and justifiably so. So one has to question whether it's really anti-Semitism that's the problem or really just Jewish behavior that's the problem. And of course it's Jewish behavior. But you know, if we had a situation that occurred on Monday and it's already said and done, everybody's gone home, cooler heads have prevailed, and you've had your dinner, you've had your breakfast, and now it's 4 days later, what are we arresting people for? If really there's no harm, no foul. Really, at the end of the day, no harm, no foul. Why can't we get back to this level of civility in our politics? See, I can confront some Jewish idiot on the streets, you know, politically. And the only time I've ever been assaulted, technically, legally, by somebody on the streets in a political world were by Jewish people. Seriously, in L.A. But were they arrested? Did I go after them for the rest of my life because they dared to confront me? No. Cooler heads prevail. Yeah, maybe I tell this story. I don't know if it was it was before the Iraq War in 2001, 2003. And there was a protest on Wilshire Boulevard. It's a main drag in Los Angeles. And so I went to the protest and I took the metro, which is a subway. And then what I did is I took a bus. I bused myself in. It was around La Brea Avenue and Wilshire Boulevard. And there was all these Jews and the Jews were protesting. This is like Jaime Town, as we used to call it. And you had like all these Jews on one side with their Israeli flags. Then you had your really quiet, humble Jewish people on the south side of the street. The lunatics, the Israeli Likudniks, were on the north side of the street. And they were shouting back and forth at each other across the street about how we had to not go do the war. Yes, but it's about 70 to 30% of the Jewish community were supporting a bogus BS war against Iraq. It wasn't Jews who were going to be doing the dying. See, it's really easy for them if we would just take in all those 70%. Gave them a gun, gave them about 3 weeks training, said, okay, go, and then killed them off. That would have been a smarter thing for us to do, quite frankly. So what I did is I talked to some of the Jewesses on the south side of the street, because I used to work a lot with these people. And she was very nice, quite frankly. She says, oh, these, I said, what's the matter with your colleagues over there, man? They're crazy. She said, yes, they're so pro-Israel, and they don't understand that this is not right, it's not fair. And, you know, she's basically like, you know, thinking it's all lunatic. These Jews are idiots, basically. So then I went to the other side. And I basically said, you know, I went up to some really big, tough dude, big, tough Jewish guy, right? I said, you know, this whole idea of you with your Israeli flag, American flag, asking us to go die for Israel is really offensive. I didn't use the word offensive, but I said it's really kind of a crazy idea. It looks bad, man. And the next thing you knew, I was surrounded by 15 Jews threatening me on the street. Literally threatening me that they're going to beat the heck out of me, that I'm a traitor. Imagine that, these scumbag Jewish people calling Americans traitors and they're advocating for Israel. That's how stupid Jewish people really are, but it's a true story. And eventually it got crazy, and a police officer had to come over and basically interject. And the police officer said, sir, to me, you're going to have to leave now. I said, why? He said, sir, can't you see it's getting out of control? I said, yeah, but this is my street just as much as it is their street. Why can't I stay here? Why don't you protect me instead of letting them get away? He said, sir, it's getting out of hand. Perhaps you can leave. But you know, if it was the other way, every one of us would have been arrested. That's where we need to stop changing it. It's the Fitch inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. A little bit of scratchy voice, I think, but it seems like it's gone away a little bit compared to when we first started. Let me turn that thing down. But it sounds like it's getting a little bit better. I just actually got and grabbed some tea, everybody, so hang tight. I'm going to have to probably be drinking tea all night today. Gummy bear, I'm going to address what you kind of said in the chat room. Chat room's humming now. Again, insidetheeyelive.com. You can click on the live chat button. It's actually humming along pretty good at the moment, which is where we like it. You know, we consider numbers in the 20s to be pretty darn good. We understand everybody's got things to do. So anyways, I think the highest I ever had was after the Bob Tuscan tussle. I had something like an Oracle, like 62 people in my chat room, 66 people in my chat room at one time. That was back in the heyday. We've never been able to duplicate that stuff, but I'll tell you. Of course, they were feeding everybody. Oracle fed people to our website equally, so that made it a little bit easier. Let me try to find where Gummy Bear said, and I understand your point, but I'm still going to raise a little bit issue. And it says here, Fetch. Where did it go? It says our power has been created. No, that's not it. No, that's not it. Maybe I can't find it quick enough. Because it's humming so fast, it went too fast. I'm looking, guys. Hang tight here. We got time to relax. We got 3 hours together. Why not, right? Basically saying here, Fetch, Jews aren't stupid. They came to control all of this stuff. Yeah, I hear you, actually. You know, I understand that part of it, you know, that they're not stupid. They have control. But then again, do you want to be controlling the pornography industry? You know what I mean? The bottom line is that Jews always create situations to where their lust for power, their lust for control, their lust to dominate, their obsession, quite frankly, with all of these factors causes them to overplay their hand. And quite frankly, they're virtually overplayed at the moment. It's just now a matter of them continuing down their road and, of course, people responding in return. Now, I don't see that as necessarily intelligent. I mean, when you get kicked out of situations where you you know, you've risen in, you've gotten into a society, you've become pretty well in that society, and then you get kicked out hundreds of times. I'm not sure that's really all that bright. You know what I mean? I don't see. And we have to put our level of intelligence with theirs on different fields here. Again, if we view things as just total control of everything as being intelligence, and that's the measure of intelligence. Look, I control the media, therefore I'm intelligent and you're not. Well, first of all, is that make you more intelligent? I mean, I'm not sure that actually makes you more intelligent. I don't have the power of the printing press to go buy everything. Does that make them more intelligent? No. It makes them basically more conniving? Yes. The more scheming? Yes. Does it make them unethical? Yes. All of these factors play into it. Again, these are just parts of the rules. They play by different rules than we do. We're not playing on the same level playing field. At the end of the day, everybody still sees what's going on, everyone. And everyone's been discussing it forever, for a long time, hundreds and hundreds, even 200, 300 years we've been discussing this issue. And the bottom line is that they have achieved what they want to achieve, which is a government whereby they can put a bootstrap on everybody's neck forever. That's the Jewish game here. And of course, it's going to be then a battle between those who want to preserve human identity, want to preserve human expression, the development of the human family, especially those of us in the West, or we're just going to allow Jews to destroy us entirely. It's now just become an existential battle. But when I look at what Jews create in the world, which is a sign of intelligence, I don't see anything. In fact, I can't find a single monument where they've created anything of value. Nothing. I've seen them create pretty amazing cycles of money, but even that doesn't last because it's a flawed system. Is it intelligent? I don't know. Again, it always fails, and they always get blamed for everything because they are responsible. We're just going to allow Jews to destroy us entirely. It's now just become an existential battle. But when I look at what Jews create in the world, which is a sign of intelligence, I don't see anything. In fact, I can't find a single monument where they've created anything of value. Nothing. I've seen them create pretty amazing cycles of money, but even that doesn't last because it's a flawed system. Is it intelligent? I don't know. Again, it always fails, and they always get blamed for everything because they are responsible. We're just going to allow Jews to destroy us entirely. It's now just become an existential battle. But when I look at what Jews create in the world, which is a sign of intelligence, I don't see anything. In fact, I can't find a single monument where they've created anything of value. Nothing. I've seen them create pretty amazing cycles of money, but even that doesn't last because it's a flawed system. Is it intelligent? I don't know. Again, it always fails, and they always get blamed for everything because they are responsible. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. We had a network outage there. Not sure what caused that. Doesn't matter at this stage. But we are back. Thanks for staying with us. For those of you that have, let me check. I'm just curious if anybody stayed. Is anybody home? Let me look. No, we lost a ton of people, man. We lost a lot of people. But I understand. What can I say, right? Anyways, that's the way it goes sometimes. Sorry about that. Wasn't our fault for sure. We're using our quality stuff here. So whatever happened, happened. Let's see here. We were talking about, before the rude interruption, we were talking about what's going on in the UK. I wanted to raise this issue about this guy that was arrested for basically confronting a member of parliament. And as far as I'm concerned, look, guys, that's the British way. It's always been the British way. You should be able. Have you ever seen a British parliamentary meeting, the way they go back and forth at each other? Well, the people should be able to go after the politicians in the same manner that they do on stage, as far as I'm concerned. I don't see a problem with it. But apparently, this guy, Mr. Goddard, he went after a Jewish politician, And James Goddard, again, he's an activist. He was filmed calling Anna Sobry, which I believe Anna Sobry is Jewish, a Nazi, and said that he had been silenced on Facebook after his profile disappeared to disappear. So basically, he lost his PayPal account. He lost his Facebook account. And Mr. Goddard had used his Facebook account to live stream the Yellow Vest protests that had been taking place for the past month in London and other UK cities. Now, Anna Sobry, she calls protesters a criminal bunch, a very unpleasant criminal bunch. Now, I don't mind the unpleasantness, but what I want to know now is, where is Anna Sobry on immigration? All right, everybody, we're back again. Thank you very much for the studio for calling me back that time. All right, we're back again. We were talking about this Mr. Goddard again. It's a little just this. It's discombobulated. Let's talk sports, everybody. Let's just go to this sports talk with the Fetch live from Riyadh. The odds today on the Al Ahly Nasser football game is. Oh, we're just kidding. I don't think they have gambling over here, not to that degree. They don't have for sure that, but nonetheless, you know, let's just talk sports for the next 3 minutes here. You know, I actually did watch, I haven't watched any sports like in about a month. Seriously, I haven't seen any full sports in about 1 month. It's just kind of crazy for me. Usually I love to watch sports, but, you know, we're going into a break in about 3 minutes. I'm assuming here that everything is running fine on the studio. And so we'll be into a break in 3 minutes. But, you know, here's the thing. If this woman who's complaining is Jewish, I find it unconscionable, once again, that this guy, this Mr. Goddard, is being jailed. Because now what we're saying is that Jewish members of parliament are more important than the British people themselves. He called the MPs treacherous. Well, there's nothing wrong with that because they are treacherous. Mr. Goddard, along with other protesters, it says here, confronted the pro-Remain MP, calling her a Nazi outside of the House of Parliament on Monday. Well, what's wrong with that, really, guys? Seriously, what is wrong with that? Because Jews call everybody Nazis every day anyway, so who cares? Now, I think, as someone called me last week, everybody should be calling Jewish people Nazis, and that would be fine with me. I wouldn't have a problem with it. It's okay. Now, Mr. Goddard added, we must remember the Nazis were elected into power and then went against ordinary Germans, pretty much echoing what's going on in this country. Actually, I would have a question about that. Because if you look at the way in which National Socialist Germany was united, the rallies that the National Socialists could hold was beyond anything we have seen in Western civilization ever. We have never seen that type of support for a government. So I think this guy's a little bit off. But nonetheless, has anyone noticed how they bang on about equal rights for women, yet when they're approached, they go into meltdown? Yeah, that's true. I think he's hit it right on the head here. They went into meltdown. I mean, even to the point of deleting this guy's Facebook and PayPal accounts. Again, Jewish obstruction of Western nations is at an all-time high. And these are issues that, again, we still have to deal with. Now, Ms. Sobry said protesters who confronted me were a very unpleasant criminal bunch. No, they might have been unpleasant. We'll give you that one. But to call them criminal, no. You have every right to address your politicians. I don't care. If you want to make that a crime, then certainly the MPs are criminals themselves because they're just basically saying you can't address us. Oh, we're higher than you. And so therefore, you must not talk to us because we are MPs and you are but a little serf on the kingdom here. And don't talk to us unless we address you first. No, they're not royalty, folks. They are not royalty. They are citizens. They are apparently elected. She calls them bully boys. No, they're addressing this person's attitude. They should never regret to do that. All right, it's the Fetch, everybody. Inside Live, hopefully the final half hour. Intelligent media, politically aware. Final half hour of the show. Thanks for staying with us, those of you who have. Anyways, after that extended technical issue in the last, I guess the start of the third hour. Anyways, things seem to be back. The studio's been back in touch with me, so we're now working on their call to me, not the other way around. Everything seems to be fine. I've got everything connected here. Chat room's humming, everybody. Just keep it civil, everybody. Agree to disagree sometimes. I like the conversation. I like to see it a little bit heated. It's okay. Agree to disagree, everybody. Keep things on a cool, civil way. Keep everybody. But I like it. I like to see this type of discussion going on, the different views being expressed, even if they're not in agreement with everybody. It's fine for me. And remember, we like to keep things civil. Again, you can join the chat and the conversation at InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. And then you can click on the live chat button, and that will get you into the door. And we'll be happy to have you and contribute, be welcome. Generally, as long as you're not trolling, I mean, really trolling, you should be welcome, and it's good. Good to see. All right. Let's see about this Anna Sobry story. By the way, she's not Jewish. I've kind of been reading through the stories. She's not Jewish. Somebody said, oh, she's lucky she's not Jewish. Yeah, I cannot actually take calls, everybody. I can add calls, but I cannot take calls. This is a problem. Skype really is a crappy, crappy product. And since I didn't call in, I'm not even sure I can even add a call. I'm looking here. Yeah, I can't, because I didn't actually make the call. I can't add anybody. Yeah, maybe I can. Let's see here. Let me see if I can do this real quick. We're trying. Skype sucks, guys. It's a crappy product. Okay, I-808, are you actually live now?
Hyper-defensive, highly offended, Jewish writer greetings, Fitch.
Man, what's happening, dude? You're like the only guy who can actually... The only reason I can add you is because you're part of my private Skype network, you know? So it's easy to just kind of like drop-click and add, but we can't actually accept calls coming in at random and then just add them to conversation. Skype has become basically third world street esser, you know what type of technology. You know, we could actually do that back in the 1980s with the analog line, man. You just kind of hit the button and it would add the other call, but you can't do that with Skype.
Conference calls? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's like they make it so difficult. Like, you know, it's very complicated. They're just like, I seriously believe that they have H-1B visas guys doing this now who just don't understand American technology.
Right. Well, it's and like you said, the call is the king. That's what we're paying for.
Yeah, we're not paying for all this other crap on their network. So I'm actually going to be dumping their platform if they don't fix it, because there's no point. Why do I pay you when I can't use you? There's no point. It's like, okay, you want to provide me with free service to do all this stuff? Okay, I'll use your free service, but I'm not going to pay for, you know, stuff I can get everywhere. Because if we just want to do a quick voice call, there's plenty of platforms we can use. We don't need to use Skype. We can use so many different platforms, from WhatsApp to Messenger to you name it. I mean, there's so many out there. I use Appear.in. Appear.in is a good platform for voice communications. There's so many out there you can use. But when it comes to integrating to the PSTN, Public Switch Telephone Network, everybody, you need, okay, we'll pay for that. That's why you have licensed telecommunication service providers. Theoretically, Skype should be licensed in every state. They're providing local numbers in every state. So I've already looked, where can I complain to the local regulator? You know, why is it that they're allowed to just change the terms of the contract midstream after they took my money and now they don't work anymore? I should be able to file a complaint against that. We should be able to file a class action lawsuit against it, because they're just basically saying at the last minute, okay, yeah, we've had this for 4 or 5 years and you paid us for 4 or 5 years, but now we're stopping, but we're not going to give you your money back. And that's what we paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's a form of fraud. Equally, I mean, from a telecommunications, yeah, it's fraud. They're just basically defrauding us now.
So what could be the motivation to provide such bad service and not respond?
Well, we assume either A, seriously, it's either A, you got H-1B visa people that are just stupid. In other words, it could be there's no motivation other than they're stupid. They don't understand American telecommunications expectations. They just don't know. You bring some kids from India, what do they know about American demands? What do they know about our culture? What do they know about our expectations? They don't. They like, oh, this is gonna, oh, this is going to be cool. You know, they're gonna base, oh, this is really, really cool, but they don't know what we need, because they don't know. They're just not part of our society. They didn't grow up.
But see, you pointed out something that's interesting. It's not so much U.S.-centric. Skype is worldwide. So maybe it's tuned to respond to the world at large and not necessarily American.
No, again, no. The buying of Skype numbers is not necessarily worldwide. I'm buying a U.S. number. Okay, I'm buying a U.S. number that is regulated in California. This would not have anything to do with international stuff. I'm buying the U.S. number from them. Okay, right. This is theoretically, since they're providing a California number in a California LATA NPA exchange, then this is going to be regulated by the state of California. Bottom line, gotcha. It should be regulated. And they should be registered as a voice over IP service provider in the state of California, and we should have redress with the regulator in California.
Right. Regardless of Skype's international capabilities.
Yeah, regardless. Because, yeah, I mean, everybody has it. I mean, for a long time here, Skype was blocked here in Saudi Arabia, for instance. It was blocked. You couldn't get out unless you had a VPN. And that's the right of the regulator here, because Skype is not regulated here. They're basically... come on, I've spoke for 3 hours on a, of course, I'm paying for the megabits to my carrier. I've got a metered service. So as long as I'm talking on a telephone call, I'm paying for that international service through the local company. And quite frankly, they provide good quality. It's expensive. Quite frankly, these megabits aren't cheap, but they're good quality. So, okay, I don't mind paying. They're providing me a service and I'm paying them for it.
You get what you pay for.
And I'm getting what I'm asking to pay for, yes. But anyways, when it comes to running radio stations, yeah, one motivation is they're just stupid. Another motivation is all they really want to do is just acquire. Maybe their database never allowed them to acquire the incoming calls. So they made it to where you can't accept the incoming call so they can log the call easier in their databases so they can just send it to Israel and the NSA.
Third-party intervention.
Yeah, spies. Of course. That's another issue. Maybe they did just because they couldn't capture the call. So they don't want people to be able to call anonymously in. So just force everybody to be set up at the onset of the call. It's easier for us to now track all the numbers and then write it to the database.
Well, let me ask you this, Fetch. Do you think, since we had two outages in this one show, do you think there's been some intervention, third-party?
Well, No, these are DDoS attacks. They're going after the network itself by flooding it with DDoS denial of service hacks. That's what's going on.
Okay, so we are under attack twice.
Yes, literally, yeah. And you know, this show has been under attack, not overtly, you know what I mean, openly, but covertly for probably back since June, because we've just seen our numbers crash. Relative, not to live listeners, but relative to aftermarket, you know, the after show archive stuff.
Yeah. And you know what? This is a very effective tool of theirs to disrupt, you know, the station of your show, because the audience goes away every time, you know, they experience these outages, right?
We lost 50% of our audience. Dude.
Exactly. So it's effective of diminishing your audience. So can't listen to the show. Drive your numbers down.
It's radio. It's radio, man. If you're not live, you're not live. I mean, radio says you got to be live. And if you're not live, then there goes the audience. That's the business.
Yeah.
Dead air is death. In the radio business.
Well, Fetch, I want to recast your question because you were asking this, you know, rhetorically, right before we had the outage. Where is Anna Sobre on immigration? Where is Anna Sobre on?
So you
want to finish that line of thought?
Remainer. We know she's a pro-Remainer. She's not Jewish. I did find that. Somebody said, boy, she's just lucky. Last night it says, Labor's Mary Krieg described the abuse as vile, misogynistic, thuggery, and Sobre should be glad she's not Jewish. Okay, well, again, I would have to say to this Mary Krieg that her very description is vile, okay? You don't use this type of language for anybody addressing a politician. You're not above us. You're not. In fact, most of you are too stupid, but that's why you're in that job, because you, in a very real way, you're not. They're not that smart. They're just driven to power. And calling it thuggery. So, OK, what was thuggish about it? They called you a Nazi. So what? Grow up. You know, you women want to enter the workforce. Okay, grow up.
So could we paint Anna Silbury with an elitist brush? Is she that way?
Well, she's a Remainer. I mean, that's all elitist. That's all, yeah. I know. I mean, it's not my politics, you know. So she's a Remainer. She was accosted. Multiple television presenters have been accosted. But the reality is that these people are enemies of the people. I mean, so it's common sense, guys, and they're going to spin it their own way. And it's up to us to support those who are confronting them.
It seems like our politicians have been turned around and used against us. Well, they don't work in our interests hardly at all anymore.
Seems, come on. It's not seems. It's a fact.
It's a fact. But there are exceptions because we can point to Donald Trump to varying degrees, right? So we still got a little bit of it. But we just don't have enough representation. And it's systematic worldwide, Fetch.
Pretty much. No, it is. Because, again, that's because the politicians are serving a banking class, and those banking classes have absolute contempt for people at large. I mean,
hey guys,
they actually do have contempt for people. It's a major problem.
It's Nighthawk.
What's that?
Hey, Dennis.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, it's Nighthawk. Hey, I just wanted – I don't think you were catching my PMs correctly. Just wanted to set the record straight. It isn't just your show. It's they're trying to shut down the network by what's called an ARP attack. It's not a DDoS. I've got the FCC involved and law enforcement involved. They've actually come out and put a trap server in here. One of the event attempts just happened during your show. But it doesn't just happen during your show. It happens all the time. Sometimes it takes us out for 6-7 hours.
Wow.
And so anyway, with the trap server they put in, now I have a solution to at least stop it within 10 or 20 minutes instead of hours and hours and hours. And now we have the event logged. So hopefully we'll find out who it is.
How is the FCC and law enforcement's response to you when you talk to them about this issue? Did they appear helpful, or did they kind of think that, oh, this guy's crazy?
Well, yeah, they're the one that I complained enough. They're the one that got, and of course, my internet company was happy to oblige because I pay them so much money. You know, you guys are out there paying $49.95. You know, I'm paying $798 a month for 8 megs of up down service. So they don't,
right.
Yeah, they don't want to lose my account. So everybody was very cooperative, and hacking in any manner is illegal. And this specific type of hacking isn't just affecting me. It's affecting everybody on my particular class C that I got 16 addresses on it, but there's a whole bunch of people that other companies that are also on the same Class C network address, if you know what that is. It's like, you know, 254 addresses, like 192.168.0. Blah, 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 the Alpha 254. Probably way too technical for a lot of the listeners, but I just wanted to make sure you were understanding, because I hate typing stuff and I always get it wrong. And okay. I just wanted to make sure you understand.
Well, it's good you check in. We lost, as you know, and it's very nasty because we lost 50% of your audience and my audience just over, you know.
Well,
that's
not
a joke. That's a huge joke.
Just be glad I was here to run around unplugging wires and flipping switches.
Yeah, exactly. Because, if this was midnight, it'd be too bad, right?
Yeah. Well, no, not necessarily, because people call me at home and wake me up, and then they get cussed out, and then I go fix stuff. That's what I do. That's what I don't get paid for. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, hats off to you, Hawk.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I don't know how you, well, actually it's your call, so easy to add in. So yeah, cool. Thanks for actually filling in the audience and myself, because we did, you know, we talked last night a little bit, you know, because of this issue with Skype, and we're hoping to find an internal solution, but I have been working on an external solution, which will not affect you and the studio.
Right. I mean, the thing with me and Skype right now is what I'm working on right now is a way bigger issue than Skype. And we have some solutions worked out that's going out in a memo. Willow will be sending it out, a memo that from past experience with our host, no one will read. And then they'll just go, why is this happening? Well, did you get the memo? What memo? There is a frustration level that weighs in here with management because, you know, if we could get people to communicate and stay on the same page, we'd have a whole hell of a lot less problems. You know, yeah. Me and you communicate directly because, you know, you're old guard here at the station, but a lot of the new people, I learned after years of not getting directly involved with everybody, I wouldn't have 2 seconds of my own day to get anything done. Mm. So.
Especially nothing against the new guys, Nighthawk, but you and I both know that those first 1-2 years, people get a little bit too often, a little bit too hands on, so to speak.
Yeah.
But anyway, instead of just coming
nothing against anybody, off. It's just it's like I can only deal with too many people. You got to delegate.
Yeah, I hear you. And 83 host Nighthawk, that's no joke, dude. That's a lot of work in anybody's book, man.
I don't know how he does it. He must have clones in his basement or something.
Jim Beam.
No. You know, I don't think I've seen Jim Beam in years, guys. Being in this, I don't think Jim Beam makes it over here.
Right. Well, it's
no
illegal.
Right? I was more joking. I've actually, everybody always blames me of being some kind of crazy, demented drunk. But, you know, I've been about half on the wagon for several months now, so.
Well, yeah, I'd like to get back.
I have a drink or two. I don't mind, but you know, it keeps me sane.
Yeah, but yeah, I hear you, man. I can't wait to get back. I had never been on the wagon in years to drink to the point of falling down, but sometimes you drink a little bit more than you should when you're in Jordan. Yeah. It's like
I can't remember the actual last time I was drunk. It's been years. So. Yeah.
Well, that's probably because you were so drunk, you just forgot.
Yeah. Well, generally, this is how it goes. When anybody has a problem with me on social networking, the station or whatever, the first thing they do is they call me a drunk pedophile and then put out this big article of innuendos, which
I've
seen that go down. But anyway, with the new trap server, we beat it fast instead of taking 6 hours of me waiting for somebody to get it done.
Well, hopefully
here's to you, Hawk.
Track it down, Nighthawk, and actually find who's doing this, because quite frankly, that's just scumbag mentality.
I have a feeling I know who's doing it. I just couldn't prove it, but now we will know.
Very good. Good luck.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Right,
thanks.
Everybody. Owner of Revolution.radio chiming in on Inside the Eye Live to explain today's network outage. He's been explaining to me a lot that he's been having some problems with. I thought DDoS, but no, he says it's, as you heard there, a little bit more serious than that. That was the reason why we had the drop in our network there at hour number 3. And he says it's not just you, it's the station itself. And I'm sure that's, you know, I don't doubt that.
He just confirmed that we are under attack. It is not our imagination, paranoia in any way.
Yeah.
So here's to the trap server.
Yeah. And why they do it could be just they don't like Nighthawk. You know what I mean? They just
a personal vendetta. Yeah. So it's a little bit maybe less organized than a government intervention, you know, or although we may be subjected to that too. Who knows what will come unraveled from.
Yeah, it's called an ARP attack for anybody that's looking at what the ARP does. It blocks the DNS service, and that means nobody can actually reach the domain, including me. Right. Although I'm not sure how that works with Skype. I guess because the server has got Skype on it, I just can't get to the Skype.
Right. Oh, I wanted to tell Nighthawk this, right? This has been a frustrating problem. If you use Google Chrome to access revolution.radio, Google will attempt to block you, Google Chrome anyway, and you can't, and it won't let you bypass the controls, so you're effectively blocked. So I had to go to another platform. Well, on Firefox, it lets me intervene and take the precaution off, right? I can just disable it, but on Google Chrome, I could not. Not with this specific site, not with Revolution Radio. So anyway, there's some shenanigans
I'm checking now. Hold on.
Yeah, it happens periodically. It'll let you listen sometimes, and then it'll, after so much time, you'll get that message. It'll lock you out, right?
No, it's loading fine here in Saudi.
Because it says it's an unsecured server or something. Anyway, Just food for thought. Something else to throw into the mix. So anyway, Fetch, well, I'll say aloha and let you continue on.
Yeah, thank you much. I'm trying to see how to get all this stuff done. Man, this new Skype sucks. I really don't like it. I'd have to spend time to learn how to use it, and then I can't add. So it's really very frustrating.
It is. It's a learning process. And then they change it after you learn so much, then they keep changing it on you. It's just designed to frustrate communications, I think.
Well, again, yeah, they don't understand. Quite frankly, the Skype development team really doesn't understand that voice is king. They just don't get it. You have to make voice easy. We pay for the voice, guys. We're not paying for all this other crap. I can get that anywhere.
But you would think Bill Gates knows this, and he would just instruct
Bill Gates doesn't care. He doesn't care. Come on. He's too busy inoculating half of Africa, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, you hang up on your side because I don't know how
to hang
you.
Right. I'll do it.
I used to be able to hang you up easy, but it's not so easy now. Used to give me a red dot, I could just hang you up. Now it's like,
I know. So let me hit the eject button. Here I go.
Okay. I think he did that. I'm not sure. I think he's gone. Yeah. Before they would just give you a regular button. Skype is stupid. Really. When you look at Skype's new design, it's really stupid. Normally you just hit a red button, disconnect it. Now you got to go to a drop down menu and the drop down menu disappears. And then you got to read the drop down menu. It's like, come on, guys, just give us the red button and let us disconnect the call. Don't make it so complicated. All right, going real quickly here is we want to go over to California real quick. And California, as you know, has a new governor, but that governor, quite frankly, is as radical on immigration as the previous governor, which means essentially that California is being led by a pro-immigration, anti-repatriation governor, something like that. In other words, he doesn't want to see anybody deported. And that's, of course, not right. He should be protecting the citizens of California, the interest of California. And this is a board meeting somewhere in California, and some woman from the African-American community had something to say about all of this illegal immigration and the idea that we need a border fence. So when you hear that Trump is being blamed for everything, this is simply not really true on the street. What really is true on the street is people want to see the border secured. We need the border secured, period. Mexico is not America. We have different cultures. They have their own unique culture. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, a lot of us used to love to go down to Mexico and partake of that culture. It's a beautiful culture in its own way. But our civilization, our culture has outpaced them by many degrees. And it's not like we should just transfer our accomplishments to anybody that wants to show up in America. But for somebody as simple as, say, sitting in the African-American community that works, just watching the shenanigans becomes quite maddening. Let's see here if I can boot this correctly. Yeah, everything's just foobar today, dudes and dudettes. Everything is foobar. It's not even playing at all. Oh, that's speed. No wonder. My eyes are bad. I can't see things very good. Oh, I'll tell you guys, that's not a great show to end the show but I think if I look here, speakers, that looks fine. No, speaker seems, nope, there it is. Now I think it's going to play and we're going into the end of the show. All right, guys, what can I say? Tough show. We'll see y'all Thursday inside the Ally Prime Time. Mike King's going to be joining us in the studio. Should be a good show. Join us Thursday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution.radio. Thanks again.